Good morning, Arvind. How are you?
I'm great, Vishal. How are you?
All good, all good. So welcome, viewers and listeners, I would call it, Chat with Traders, where we try to bring a lot of systematic traders, which are, I would call them hidden gems. Because a lot of people you will hear, again and again, but what our focus is to find the hidden gems, which are in the, different part of country and bring them up. So I've been one interesting person I would definitely want to invite when I was thinking of Chat with Trader was Arvind. Okay. And Arvind runs with a Twitter handle. Obviously, it will be there on this thing. It's Algo Temple, right, Arvind?
Yes, Vita. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. So, people use Twitter for trolling. Many people use Twitter for trolling, but I use Twitter for really building a lot of good networks. And I've been very lucky enough to meet up a lot of good guys through Twitters. As people say, you will get what you are searching for. If you are searching for dearth, okay, and you are looking for bad people, you will find them. And if you are searching for good people, you will find good people. And that's what you really want to do with social media. And I use social media to finding out a lot of good people and interact with them. And because of them also, I will be very honest, my trading style has also improved. So today I'm going to introduce a very interesting session with Arvind. Arvind, I have Kevin also on the call. Kevin is part of Market Scanner and he has been doing a lot of chat with traders with us, and you'll see a lot of new things coming up in the coming sessions as well. So now, Arvind, we will have a lot of rapid fire session with you, okay? Arvind, if you can just help us to understand, how did you get into this market? Like, what was your initial journey?
So this journey started in the year 2010. I was in my final years of engineering. During that particular time, we had a paper on financial engineering during my final years. And that's when my professor introduced to financial markets. And that was really interesting. And I found that, people can earn money just sitting in their desk whole day, right? So that kind of, profile that really liked me, being a lazy person. Immediately after my engineering, I joined an IT firm and I opened a bank account with HDFC. And immediately I also opened a DMAT account with them. I started saving a little bit of money, like 10,000, 15,000, 20,000, and I slowly started doing equity trading. I go to NSE website, look at their charts, and then, if you go to NSE website, there'll be a little chart which shows, uptrending and downtrending. So I used to look at it, whichever stock is uptrending, I used to buy it, whichever is downtrending, I used to sell it. So that's how it started. But still, I busted like 2 lakh rupees worth of money over 2 years. Then I, in parallel, I was also preparing for CAT exams. Then I did my MBA and I majored in finance. And that really helped me to understand, the market as an holistically, but it was more from a theoretical perspective. You read about equity, you read about options. You also have professors who teach about options, but they have never traded in options. So it was so theoretical, and it was even difficult to comprehend how it works. Then after my MBA, I again re-entered into the market after a gap of 2 years. So that time, immediately I didn't start in options, but I still continued with equity. So I thought that I did something wrong. So that's when I came to the world of technical analysis, right? You get introduced to RSI, Supertrend, and various other indicators. I thought that these are working like super good. You look at really well-performing stocks, Supertrend turns green, it goes up. So I thought like these are like miraculous indicators, I can mint money. Yeah. So I again bust 3 lakhs worth of money. So one of the prime reasons why I was losing money at that point of time is because, when the stock is in a good positive position, right, you don't let it ride, you book the profits. But when you're in loss, out of greed, you will convince yourself that this stock would definitely come back again. So, and you would tend to continue that loss-making trade. You have no idea about risk management, no idea about all these things. So that's how I busted the account again. So then I again took a gap of like 1 or 2 years. Then I was parallelly looking into various things. And that's when I got introduced to option selling. And it was more portrayed more like, you know, it gives a regular income, right? For a middle class person, the word regular income is really appealing. And so that's when I started option selling. That used to be my cup of tea. And I was working in consulting, and I used to have a lot of work from home, right? So I was able to, you know, view the market parallelly by working. I was also able to continue to look at the market, and I was doing option selling. But even there, I bust the account 2 more times, one with 5 lakhs and one with 7 lakhs. So I was down by almost 17 lakhs because I was keep tracking all the losses. And at
17, yeah.
1-7.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So totally I lost 17 lakhs. So I was thinking, you know, I always knew that I would be successful in this, but I keep making the same mistakes again and again and again. It was all due to the lack of discipline, right? So that's when I was working also as a data scientist. So that's when I thought it's high time I need to automate these stuff, but I don't know where to start. This was around beginning of 2019. That's when I entered Twitter. Then I used to search with the keywords for algo. And that's when I started looking at the profile called Algo Trader Srini. So he's the first person, I think he's the first person among the retail traders, I think, who started with algo trading. I don't know about others, but he's the first one that I came across. So I used to ping him, message him, wait for his reply for a week. Then he gave some insights about it. Then I started exploring, subscribed to Zerodha Kite, and slowly I started automating things. Straight away I couldn't automate option trading, obviously, because it's way too complex. So I started with equity. Equity was doing well, but once this coronavirus pandemic happened, it had very wild swings. DD was very high. It was reaching like 20%, and I couldn't handle that much of DD because that was my final attempt, because I already lost 17. So I thought I will stop it. Then I thought, why can't I automate the option selling that was already doing? So that's how I started automating that. And that's how the journey started. And I have broken even. I have crossed the break even last month.
Oh, congratulations.
I have recorded 17 lakhs.
So that's a big achievement, I would call it. Like, you know, I am very happy that it's not revenge trading, but that's the confidence that you had in your system.
Yeah.
That,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
In the conviction as a trader. So I remember reading a Market Wizard book by Jack Swagger.
Okay.
And in Jack Swagger books, there were many, many, many traders. I can give names after names. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Cook was one prominent name that I remember. He lost his fortune, he lost his early income, he borrowed money from his mom and almost lost that also.
Yes.
But he had one thing in his genetics, that I can do it.
Yeah, exactly same. Yeah.
So I mean, you really take that one to the next level. That's congratulations for that.
You know, I think that's the feeling like every trader has, right? You know that you would be successful, but you just don't know the means how to be successful, right? So that was the only thing that, you know, kept me moving forward. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. So what do you think? You have already, you know, talked about the discipline and the automation.
Yeah.
Now you've worked and, you know, you kind of break even, and now you're trying to, you know, go into the upper scales. My question to you is, what other things that you think really helped you to remain and, you know, became positive? Because after a drawdown of 17 lakh and blowing up account multiple times, psychology would be on the back seat, right? So what was the other things beside your automation discipline that you think really worked out for you?
So as I said, one thing that really kept me moving is the success story of multiple people that I saw over Twitter, right? You know, like some people say like some are fake, some are true, but at least I know like few people that I see on Twitter are genuine news, right? They were really making money, right? So that really gave me confidence that I can also make money. Mm-hmm. If it was not for Twitter and those people, I would not have that confidence to even continue this. So there are multiple people who really inspired me, you know, starting with Srini and many more people, right? Srini used to post his profit and loss those days, right? And also Sakti, you know, Sakti, I guess.
Yeah, God LTD.
So these guys really inspired me to, you know, continue in that direction. Yeah.
Interesting. So you are the second type of lot where you say the M2M screenshots really inspire you.
Exactly.
Because we have so much of debate going around on Twitter world and all the social media, whether M2Ms are good or M2Ms are bad. Yeah. So as I always said, you search for what you wanted, right?
Correct.
I don't post M2M, but you know, in my earlier part of my, you know, things also, it really kind of helped me to say, you know, what you just mentioned.
Right.
It inspires to do something like that, but after a point of time, I want to share my thing also. It started getting on my nerves, or, you know, it started playing with my psychology.
Because
being a systematic trader, I will never see those kind of M2Ms. Mm-hmm. Then I would start fidgeting around with our things. So that's what I, you know, but it's good. You are taking what is the best of out of the world rather than just, you know, ignoring it completely.
Yeah.
So are you a full-time trader?
No, I am not even a part-time trader now. Being an
You are an algo trader. Okay, interesting. But what I meant was, are you into a profession other than trading, or like, you know, you have a full-time job and then you are, you know, a trading part-time?
So I'm currently working in an MNC, in a management consulting firm. Mm-hmm. And parallelly, I'm doing this algo trading part.
Awesome.
And, I'm not in this journey alone. I also have partner with me, my technical partner, his name is Ankur. Okay. So he helped me out in a lot of technical stuff.
So he's a partner in crime. Huh? So when you told your family that, you know, I really want to do something in the stock market trading, and I usually believe, or this is my hypothesis, and I'm getting proved wrong again and again and again with a lot of examples like Cot LTD, FLGO, that South Indians. The Jenner that was there, like, you know, people were afraid of putting money into the stock market. The only thing that they can think of is gold. It's changing.
Yeah.
So what was the social pressure that has came to you as part of the profession?
I mean, the pressure is quite real and immense.
Oh my God.
Right. I informed my father during the initial days, right? After my engineering, that I'm going to do some stock market. So it's not just the stock market, right? Even if you tell I'm going to run a business, even that was considered a sin in my family. Like all my family members, uncles, aunts, mother, father, everyone was a government employee, right? So they always prefer, you know, having a monthly salary kind of a job. Anything other than that is useless according to them, right? So even any business, even any legal business is also a sin to them, right? From there, stock market is at a different level of sin, right? So initially they advised me, you know, not to get into these things. So initially though I informed my father, then at a later point of time, I stopped informing him. Then I convinced myself once I become successful, then I will inform him that I have become successful. So I kept it with myself. But after my MBA, what happened is that I got married, and that's where the real trouble started, right? you need to give that visibility of finances to your wife as well, right? To your wife. So so when I bust the account that I had of 5 lakh, after busting the account, I informed her, because there was a time where I had to explain about the missing money. So I explained her that that I lost this money. Then she was not happy about it. Then I tried convincing her, told her I'm an MBA graduate, I have studied this, I'm a talented person. but
your wife does not listen to this podcast, otherwise you are in a big trouble.
You know, all these things happened. Then at a point she understood that I'm very passionate about that. Then after that, with the consent of her, I raised some capital to 7 lakhs, and I again traded, and she started tracking it. also like profit and loss. So I thought that that would bring in some discipline. Okay. But, you know, being a discretionary trader at that point of time, you make some silly mistakes. And in one big day, you know, in option selling, if you're on the wrong side and one big day, you lose money, you know, and you're working as a full-time employee in a consulting firm, suddenly you'll get a call from your colleagues. You'd be speaking after half an hour. If you come and check the your PNL, it would already be bust, right? Then somehow that account also got burst. Then last and final time, I didn't even inform my wife this time. So one thing that which I would not ask others to do it, but I did it, is I took a loan and then I started trading. But this time I did algo trading. So I was sure that I would not bust my account. At the max, I would be in a DD of somewhere around 15 to 20%. So this is something that others should not be doing. But since it was systematic algo trading, that's the only reason I did it. Then I hit that max drawdown of 20%. Then I stopped it. Then that's when, after that, I started automating my initial ideas that I had in option selling. Then from there on, it has been a consistent profit. It's been 11 months since I started the system that I'm currently trading, and I'm happy to tell that all the 11 months I have been profitable.
So yeah, you must be a hell of a bad discretionary trader, I would call it, because
yeah.
Once your wife is your risk manager,
because
I can relate to what you are just saying, right? Okay, I have to give how much money you made, how much you're going to kind of pay out, and 50% of that profit goes to her bank account, come okay. What may. So I really hats off to you. But one of the piece of advice that you have given to the newcomers that I really appreciate is never take a loan.
Yeah.
Especially when you are trying to do, forget about derivatives, not even for the stock market.
Yeah.
It's something that I keep on getting a lot of messages on Twitter. And I really, you know, feel bad when they say that I have lost my dad's PPF, okay, in trading.
That's bad, yeah.
And
that's bad.
I have left only 1,000 rupees or 10,000 rupees in my account. Can you help me to recover it? And my answer is, just first go and talk to your dad and accept that you made a mistake, and you get a job and try to recover back and give him your his PF back.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
never trade or with money that you can't afford to lose.
Yeah.
So a very good piece of advice, Arvind, that you have given, that you have done it, but please don't do it. It's because you are young, you can keep it up, and you have a job to kind of back it up.
Yeah.
Thing. So are you planning to come into full-time trading anytime soon?
No, not at
Why?
All.
Why? It's so easy place. You know, there are two screens, three screens. Money is like, you know, you're making money every month, 11 month, you've been profitable. Why not come full-time?
Vishal, if you give me, certain amount of cash and ask me to start a full-time trading now as a discretionary trader, you can bet I would lose the entire money.
Okay. But now you are not a discretionary trader. Now you are a systematic trader, right?
So even in systematic trading, right, you need to take every single trade to the dot, right? Unless until you have automated it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have automated it, there is no point in sitting in front of this system. So there is no point of being a full-time trader there. Right?
Okay.
So I know few people like Madan, right? He's a systematic trader. I'm not sure if he had automated it, but he said that I had attended his training session, but he said that at that point of time, he has not automated it, but he takes every single trade on time, right? For such person, you definitely need to be a full-time trader sitting in front of the screen. But for me, being an algo trader, I switch on my server in the morning at 8:30. I mean, currently I'm in a dedicated server, automatically code, you know, starts at that time and ends at that time. So I don't even get involved in day-to-day, system activity, and whatever improvements that I want to do and I want to change, I do it over weekend. So I have my entire day to myself, to my family, as well as to my job. So it has taken a great load of pressure out of me, right? So I would say I'm feeling the least stressful in so many years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Arvind, this is the second interview, one we did with Pawan.
Yeah, yeah.
And he also was very clear that I love my job.
Yeah.
And why am I able to be successful in trading? Is because I don't have a pressure to make my monthly expenses from the trading.
Exactly.
So that's a brilliant piece of advice for a lot of young guys who want to get into systematic trading. And a lot of are getting fascinated towards the work, like, you know, sitting in front of the screen, clicking, making money as like an ATM machine doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
But to your point, I have a different view.
Okay.
And correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is what this is all about. Like, you know, experience sharing experience.
Okay.
So I quit my job.
Okay.
And focused on fully automated systematic trading.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
My belief system was that when you open up a business, you need to be on the sitting on the shop. Okay.
Correct.
Cannot be sitting on the, you cannot be on the shop
okay.
and make money.
Right.
Okay. Exactly. And there are so many variables that happens in Indian context. Like your broker can go down.
Yes. Yes.
Your connectivity with your broker can go down.
Correct. Yeah.
Your broker connectivity exchange can go down.
Correct. Yeah.
And there is an option where exchange goes down.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
So if you're not sitting at the desk and all of a sudden you are at a meeting, which went on for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And in return, NSE canceled all your stop losses orders.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And you wake up in the morning and you say, okay, what the hell did just happen?
Yeah. Yeah.
So how do you handle that part of that scenario when it comes up?
Yeah. So when we initially started this, right, we thought about it. Both my partner and myself are full-time employees in an organization. So when the algo runs, if there are any error, it would immediately send us to our Telegram, right? If anything goes wrong, so we had all the scenarios mapped in the code. So if anything goes wrong, we have a separate channel just for the error. So it would immediately send us an error. And at that point of time, we go and, sit in front of the screen and see what has gone wrong. But right now, what I have done is that we have hired a person to do that. So we have a team. He monitors all the trades. And he monitors all the trades. And even he's been added to the Telegram channel. And even he receives if there are any errors. So we have trained him to do whatever is required. When the mishap happens. So in this way, what happens is that I get to continue with my job. At the same time, I can, I can also make sure my algo runs seamlessly. And there are cases when, you know, NSE went down. I believe it went like 3-4 months ago. Yeah. That happened. So at that point of time, even you can't do it. Even I can't do anything. Mm-hmm. Even if you're sitting in front of your screen, even you can't do it. Even I can't do it. So at that point of time, once you get the news through Telegram and WhatsApp, people message you, that's when you go and, you know, make the necessary fix. But once you have start grown and your capital that you're managing is quite high, as you said, someone definitely needs to be there to monitor it, right? Though it's algo trading, it cannot be let alone assets. There must be some amount of manual monitoring there. Yeah.
Very difficult question for you, Arvind. Assume you're on your final year evaluation with your manager.
Okay.
And a Telegram message comes that there is a critical alert.
Yeah.
Would you excuse yourself and go out and handle that trade? Now that you have a person, but assuming that that person was not there, what would you do?
I would immediately end my call with my manager.
Okay.
I will take care of it and get back to the call stating, sorry, I had a network issue.
Oh my God. Interesting. Kevin, over to you.
So, just 1 minute.
So I've taken Kevin by surprise now.
So, I was reading your Twitter, your tweets, past tweets.
Yeah.
So,
by the way, we troll you, okay?
So, you mentioned that you run system called Black Pearl, right?
Yeah.
Black Pearl, yeah.
Yes. So, can you tell something about it? What is the...
Obviously not the logic.
I don't want complete details.
Yeah. I can share some insights into it. So as I said, when I started algo trading, I started with equities, right? Those were easy to backtest it. But even that broke down during the coronavirus meltdown. I hit the max video, 20%. And that's when I thought of creating a system of option selling. So it's basically a a semi-directional system. What a semi-directional system does is that you keep increasing your positions on the both side, both strangles. So I deal with strangles in Black Pearl and straddles in my other algo, Cash Pearl. So basically what you do is that in a regular, I start at 920 and in a regular intervals of 5 to 10 minutes, I increase the lots, increase the strangles. So once I do that and you have your entire position filled, I go with 10 lots on call side and 10 lots on the put side, total of 20 lots in one system. So once I do that, then, you know, you start eating the decay. But suddenly when market moves up, what happens is that one of the positions would be negative and the other positions would be positive. So the main question is that how we adjusted. That's where our main algo,
the USP and the
USP IP of the algo, so we don't have any indicators at all. We don't use any technical indicators. We only use two things. One is the option price, and the second is the OI. Okay, change in OI.
Okay.
So whenever these strangles, so when you sell a strangle, you have a call premium as well as put premium. You put these two premiums together, and if it exceeds certain percentage of losses,
combined premium,
you exit. Then you exit that, and you move to a different strangle, right? And along with it, you also look at the OI, right? So we have two ways of adjustment. Either the stop loss on the combined premium should hit, or you see a significant change in OI. Even if you see a significant change in OI, even that, for that we use the call put ratio of certain strikes, 500 strikes on downside and 500 strikes on the upside. So of course, I'm not giving you the exact number of strikes, but
obviously we don't know. We don't need that.
One more question. You check for the OI reading, right? On the minute interval.
Yeah.
So do you aware of the fact that OI statistics that NSC provide or any other exchanges provide are not accurate? So the sure and the final number of the OI is what you get after 3:30, because there are some prop firm or some funds that will, what they do will they will give orders to their clearing corporation, and your clearing corporation will report exchange after 3:30.
Understood.
So that can be easily manipulated.
Yeah. So that can be easily manipulated. So that's why we use two kinds of ways to adjust. One is based on the strangles premium, and the other is based on the change in OI, right? So this change in OI, as you said, it's always reactive. It might come late, right?
Yes.
Usually there is a delay. Even if it's a delay on a trending day, even if you find it after certain amount of delay, it still works.
Okay.
Let's look at RSI for that matter, right? If you're looking at an 14 candle RSI or at a 14 5-minute candle RSI, it's not that immediately it would detect a trend. Right. It takes its own sweet time to reach your threshold of RSI, right? So be it any indicators, it would take its own time. Similarly, even OI also, even if it's a delayed reading, on a real trending day, it would give you a good indicator of where the market is heading. Okay. And even if it is delayed, but still if market moves very fast, and that's where we have a stop loss on the strangles.
So Arvind, I have two questions for you.
Yeah.
Not obviously, you are completely okay not to disclose it, the strategy rules, but something that we want to understand. Say that up till now, you're looking at OI and a lot of retail participation was kicking in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because option selling was like a fixed monthly income and everything.
Yeah.
Now with the new margin kicking in.
Yeah.
A lot of us, including us, we are facing some hate in terms of the returns that we were generated. And
correct.
That OI is going to get out of the market. Do you think that will have just your view, whether have a view on your strategy or no? Or it will continue to work as it is, right?
See, the retail participation would definitely be going down. But if you look at big OI build-ups are always from very big players and institutional investors, right?
Sure.
So that is definitely not going down, right?
Okay.
So they have enough money with them, and they're going to put only a certain amount of percentage of that into the options, right? their primary thing is cash and investment, but a very small portion is going to go into options. So their contribution to OI is not going to decrease. Only the retail participation is going to decrease. I don't foresee it going down by more than 10 to 15%. Right? But even then, the changes in OI is what we're looking at, right? Not the absolute numbers here. So the changes in OI is definitely going to let you know the strength of the movement. Right. So I don't see a big change that would happen in the system. But what we do is that every 6 months, we purchase the data and we retrain the model and see whether we can get a better model than what we were doing. So this would help us to know whether we have performed better or we have performed less than
the optimum
what was expected. Or, yeah.
Another question that has always came into mind as a trader is the risk management in options.
Yeah.
Because when you're going to sell a strangle, okay, say on, you're doing weekly or monthly, just out of curiosity?
Weekly.
Say on a weekly, on a Friday, there was some premium, say ATM plus 500 minus 500. I'm just talking, taking some numbers.
Yeah.
Say in a low volatility environment.
Yeah.
Okay. The premiums would be different.
Correct.
In a high volatility regime, the premiums would be different.
Correct.
Assuming even if I'm making money,
uh-huh,
I'll be making less money on my low volatility regime.
Correct.
And when I'm losing, maybe there is a very volatile month, like I remember November, December for Aries, you know, sellers was very difficult for us.
Yeah.
So I wanted to understand, like, do you do premium neutral, delta neutral, or how do you go about it? Or you just have a fixed strike rules?
So I don't have a fixed strike rule. It is always based on the option price.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
And that option price also varies on depending on the day I'm trading. Right?
Okay.
Like on Wednesday, let's assume I sell only strangles which are 200 plus.
Hmm.
On Wednesday, on Thursday, I would sell strangles only that are 100 plus.
Okay.
Right? So irrespective of the wigs, you would always, if the VIX is increasing, obviously the distance is going to increase. And,
right,
and if the VIX is low, the distance is going to come low. So you might end up getting a similar kind of a return over the period.
Interesting.
But what I have seen is better the VIX, better is the
return. Because the theta decay is also kind of really kicks in.
Correct.
When we are near the end of that expiry, that theta decay really drops in. And a lot of people made a killing in March where everybody was sobbing and, you know, not happy with the market fall, but real option players really kicked in with a lot of premiums, fat premiums.
Yeah.
Kevin.
So there is in market, everybody says that go with trend or follow the trend, right? Trend is your friend. And if you want to make big, then you have to go with trend.
Correct.
So right now you run only semi-directional strategies, right?
Correct.
So do you think as your capital increase, do you also need one trend following system that can only make directional bets, not the meaning trading futures or cash stocks, that only directional bets, maybe not intraday but positionals?
Okay. So my answer is opposite to it, because once your capital increases, right, you kind of move to a strategy which produces less and less max TDs, right? Trend following system has this tendency of going into bigger drawdowns and bigger time drawdowns, right? So as your capital increases, you should always go to a system which has a less time drawdown and less max TD. But having said that, it's not that I don't run a trend following system. I'm also running option buying system that is running in Zerodha, but I don't post it for obvious reasons.
Okay.
Because the drawdowns and time drawdowns are crazy over there, and I run like only 10% of my overall capital into option buying system, trend following system, and rest are present in my option selling system. I also recently attended the session of Vishal Mehta as well on option buying system as well. So I'm also testing it out. So probably I'll be running a second system as well.
Awesome.
I'll look at the correlation, like how both the systems are. If they're less correlated, probably I'll be starting my second option buying system as well.
Interesting, because as I kind of you attended it, and we really wanted to put out there, like when we do an option buying system, why we are not putting it out in terms of like this thing, you need to be a Rocky Balboa. Like you can keep on getting hit again and again and again and again and still come back. So like we had like 14 consecutive losses. Not one time, but two times.
But the problem with option buying is that I am still not able to, you know, get that confidence to scale up my capital, right? In my current option selling system, I have scaled like crazy. I started with 5, then moved to 12, then moved to 18, then 36. Now I'm at 60 lakhs capital. My option selling capital has not crossed more than 4 lakhs.
Option buying.
It's not cost more than 4 lakhs. I mean, it's really tough to, you know, go through that max drawdowns and time drawdowns.
So that's what you need to be like a fish. If you are really like a trend follower or an option buyer, you will be underwater. Like 95% of the time, you will be only coming up by 5%, and then again going back to the underwater. So that's how the fish lives underwater.
And I'm not sure if you notice this, option buying does always comes out of the DD and makes the new equity curve high. But the thing that I noticed in past 4 months is that it makes a new equity high and hits back to the older drawdown, again reaches the same near, just crosses above the previous equity high and again goes into the drawdown. So it is like a double prop, triple prop, four top kind of a scenario. It's not breaking out and going further and further up.
I hope this breakout comes soon because of the new margin, like all the retail people has moved from the option selling to option buying. And if they don't make money now, I'm sure they will have a lot of different problems in the future.
Fair enough.
Kevin.
So when are you in drawdown? When your system goes to, let's say, 10 to 12% drawdown. So do you continue follow the system as it is, or do you change some position sizing rule or some risk parameters?
So I stick to the system as it's, right? I don't change a single parameter of it. I let the system go as it. If you look at my option selling system, I don't face a max drawdown of more than 6%. That's the max DD it can get to. By backtest, it's 4% only, but I always have that buffer of 2%, and it has never crossed that 6%. And my time drawdown is only 3 weeks, right? So I'm in a very comfortable system when it comes to the option selling, that is the black pearl. But option buying is a different case. As you know, I had even hit like 22%. You stopped at 16%. I have seen 20 to 24%, but I'm still continuing with the system because it is as per the backtest. Yeah, we have seen similar things that is happening in the past, and we would always come out of it, but it's just taking time. Yeah,
it takes time.
And what if you hit 2 times of your drawdown in real trading? Will you stop trading this system?
I mean, I have still not faced it, but it would be difficult to answer this question at this point of time because I have still not faced such a drawdown.
Fair point. But
definitely what I would do is that I would not stop the system, but rather I would diversify into a new system, right? So as I told to Vishal, I am running an option buying system, which is based on pivots that I learned from Madan. Then I want to diversify them. And that's why I was attending your session as well. So when you diversify it, you would kind of be okay even if that max drawdown hits or even the twice of max drawdown hits.
So, but buying, buying option having Madan's and my thing, right? Would it not be highly correlated? Because I've just checked, Madan's Excel sheet as well. And he has been in consecutive losing streak as we are. So we are perfectly correlated because market is not breaking out.
It is
just showing, trend and then dropping it off. And the VIX at it is an all-time low. No surprise that the buying option doesn't work right now. So, but when you say it, so are you looking at a correlation in what way? Because it's all same.
It may not be same on all days, right? Like even the Madan system that I'm running, I run it on Bank Nifty as well as Nifty. There are multiple days when Bank Nifty hits top loss, but Nifty continues to make profit. I agree to your point. It would be correlated, but it won't be 100% correlated. Yep. It should range somewhere between 60 to 80%. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Where do you find ideas and new system ideas and what to backtest? So
I hope not in the dreams.
Right. So which articles you prefer to read? Any blogs that you can suggest that you are reading?
Yeah. So I can't give a single answer to that, right? Because I haven't learned anything from YouTube. I have not learned anything from blogs. Whatever I tried by reading or watching it, it didn't work out for me. It might be because I was not disciplined. But one thing that I would definitely suggest to people who are listening to that is that risk management is everything, right? Once you manage your risk, at some point of time, you would definitely become profitable, right? You should never lose 2 to 2.5% of capital in a single trade. If you stick to it, you would tend to stay long in this game. If you stay that long, you will somehow find your sweet spot. You will somehow find your sweet algorithm. See, if you see all successful traders, be it Vishal, Srini, multiple people that I know, they run their own systems. You won't see two people running same systems, 10 people running same system, because they go through all those materials, but they stay long in this game that they will find their own niche. They would find their own algos, which are catered to their risk and return expectations.
Oh.
But it's good to go through all these things, but I would not prefer anyone copying exactly that, right? You need to continue to look for new things, try new things, and only in hands-on you'll get new ideas. Yeah.
So you can avoid this question, but... in trading world, we used to say that everybody have their own belief, right? I have some beliefs, you have some beliefs, even Vishal sir have some different beliefs.
Yeah.
So what is your belief under that systematic trading would work? Why do you believe that systematic trading would work? Provided that there are many people who say that you cannot backtest the emotions and sentiments, and market is evolving mechanism, it's everyday market evolve, and you are fitting some model on the back data. So what is your belief beside that systematic trading will work and will continue to be work?
Yeah, so I can answer this even without considering trading, right? I am working in a profession which is data science, right?
Right.
My whole job is about predicting what's going to happen in the future, right? Okay. That's why companies hire me and pay me, right? If that works there, even in stock market, it should work, right? Even if you purchase a car, right? A company needs to forecast like how many people would purchase a car in the future, right?
Right.
Next 1 year, next 6 months. Of course, it's totally, each one is an individual. Each one would have different tastes. But if you look at an holistic view over a long period of time, you can definitely generate some amount of forecast, because every organization needs some prediction or some forecast to operate with, right? Similar is the case with trading. You take historical data, run it for 10 years, 5 years, 6 years, whatever period. If it works for so long, then it would definitely work even in the future. It may not produce the same results. Sometimes it may even produce better results. Sometimes it may even produce lesser favorable results. But I believe it should not be more than like plus or minus 30% at least.
Okay.
And that's what I believe. It would work, but you should give some buffer, like plus or minus 30%.
How do you check for curve fitting, that any system is not curve fitted or not over optimized?
All my algos are perfectly curve fitted. I always curve fit my algos.
Okay.
Right. So I have like multiple parameters in my algos, right?
Yeah.
So in the black pearl, apart from OI, percentage of strangles, and also the time difference in which I sell the strangles, then the profit booking percentage, loss booking percentage, there are total of like 10 different parameters. I run a brute force optimization algorithm where I run like 10,000 a lakh combinations and I choose the best combination.
But don't
I always forfeit it. But how do I know that overfitting would work in the future is that I run a different algo which would randomly generate some variations in these parameters, plus or minus. Let's say I sell a strangle in an interval of every 10 minutes. I would run an algo which would sell a strangle in an interval of 8 minutes as well as 12 minutes. As well as I change the stop loss percentage from 30 to 35 and 40. Right?
Yes.
So I make small changes and see what are the returns. If that does not vary widely from the over-optimized system, then it would definitely work, right?
Yes, that is a very good way to looking at the system, I think.
Yeah.
But, one very good trader from London named Robert Craver also suggests this thing.
Okay, okay.
And so this is actually not counterfeiting.
This is so basically I get this all the time. I think so in one of our webinar also people ask this, like, Vishal, have you done an out of sample and in sample testing? And to my answer, especially for option buying and option selling, there are some universal principles. Yeah, you can do with you know, just for the information for the new guys who are trying to get, because people get hellbound on the names. You know, you have to do in sample and out sample and forward test and everything, which is perfect. And I do agree with that. But what kind of variables that you are running with, that you have to understand. Okay. If you have an RSI, you have an, you know, lot many indicators, then there is a chance of curve fitting. Yeah. But if you're taking only one indicator or maybe only one closing price as your parameter, there is nothing much to curve fit.
Yeah.
So what you just mentioned is brilliant, that you are not taking exact point, but you're trying to play around the point and trying to check how this functions. So it's a brilliant analogy. Thanks, Arvind, for this. It's a good insight.
And if you look at the system, I don't employ any big technical indicators, right? No technical knowledge at all. It's just computers, right? Computers doing their own optimization. Yeah. It's all about coding and this thing. This has made that if someone asked me to, you know, take a webinar on this, I don't have anything to even explain about the system. It's all a brute force optimization that I have come up with this. Right?
You have no idea, Arvind, how much you have you know, given pain being a CMT and making my career in technical analysis, not using a single technical indicator, is so much painful. No, but I kind of agree with you. We have been working on a lot of things, but at least from the option end, we have figured that out, like using no indicator or at least minimalistic indicators has really helped us also in our strategies. So that's a good defined point. Yeah.
So do you think market is random? All price fluctuation we are seeing is just a toss of a coin.
See, it's definitely random, but thing is that the same pattern would occur again and again and again and again. Right? If you look over the data of 10 years and if you look at daily 5-minute charts of these 10 years, I have done those kind of things during the initial stages to markets. So you see on multiple days the charts look very similar, not exact ditto, but something similar. The same patterns would definitely repeat again and again and again. You would not have a totally different pattern. There would be small changes, but it would tend to repeat again and again. And that's exactly the reason why all our system trading works. Most of the system trading works. Though it's random, it just repeats itself.
So what do you prefer? Systematic trading over the investing, long-term investing or long-term investing over the systematic trading, and why?
I would say both, right? So let's say this coronavirus pandemic breakdown, right? I know many people who have invested at bottoms. Like I know Sakti, I was speaking to Sakti. So he had invested his life saving during the coronavirus breakdown. And he has made returns in excess of 50 to 100% in investing, right? And once you have invested it, and you can always pledge it and get that margin and use it for trading. Right? For me, if you ask me, you can do both. And if you don't know like which stocks to pick, you can even buy Nifty Bees, right? Or Bank Bees, or even some mutual funds. You buy it, pledge it, and you know, do trading with that. Both should work.
So how do you compound your system, Arvind? Like, you know, we say the real money is not trading single lots. Okay.
Right.
It is not going to help us to grow. So if I really wanted to compound, and anybody who is listening to this podcast and really want to get into the bigger league,
yeah,
what's your idea on that and how you have done so far?
So in the buying system, how I have done is that every time I get 2 times more than max PD profit, mm-hmm, I increase by 1 lot.
2 times max drawdown?
Yeah.
You increase by 1 lot. Okay, interesting.
I mean,
is a different way.
No, not when I'm going into a max drawdown, but when I make a profit, if that profit is more than 2 times max PD, okay, then I will increase 1 lot.
Interesting. And your option buying is intraday, right?
Yeah, intraday. Yeah.
Okay.
All my trades are in intraday.
Intraday. There's no overnight algo. Interesting. Yes. And how about option selling?
Option selling, Black Pearl, I run only for 3 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Monday and Friday, the capital remains idle. And even that is intraday.
Okay. So there's a lot of good questions. Any more questions from your end, Kevin? I'm exhausted now.
So, how many percentage of your time you completely follow your system? Means you can say that 95% of the time I have completely followed my system. Every entry, every exit, at every stop loss I have exited my trade. Or you can also say that 100% of the time because your system is automated.
Yeah. So, as you said, since it's automated, it's going to be 100% of the time. There are days when we know if we continue, we might end up in loss, right?
Right.
You know, there would be an RBI event that because we exit somewhere around 3:10, or some kind of announcement it's going to come at 3. But even then, we stick with our system. Let it run. Even if it's going to lose, let it lose. Yeah. So only if you follow your system to the dot, to the 100% automation, only then you can realize the backtest numbers. Right. Else you would keep complaining, I tried the system, but I couldn't reach it. But it is possible that if you miss those good trades and bad trades, you should follow all the trades. Yeah.
And what do you look in the backtest report, right? That everybody have their own criteria that, let's say I look for Kalmar must be greater than 2, or max drawdown should not greater than 15%. So what do you look for?
So I look at only 2 things primarily, actually 3 things, but 2 are the most important. One is max DD, right? In the if it's buying, I see it should not exceed more than 24 to 25%. The one that I'm running is 24%, and in selling I run a system which does not exceed 6%. So max DD is the primary thing, and the second thing that really wears you out is the time DD, right?
Yeah.
Time drawdown and max drawdown is something that you always have to look at, and return is something you should be flexible with. I mean, if somewhere between 30 to 100%, you should be good. And few people say 30 is a bad number, but for bigger capital, 30%
is 30 is actually very good.
Very good number. It's like a dream come true. But I really like your analogy, Arvind, about time drawdown.
Yeah. Right.
And a lot of people, you know, usually don't pay that attention.
Yeah.
Because we live in a instant gratification world.
Yeah.
Where if I'm going to message someone, on a Telegram or a WhatsApp, I can tell you with my experience, people expect an immediate reply.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Whatever we do, we want an immediate return on that.
Right.
And that is the problem with a lot of young guys. Like, you know, when they start trading it, they want an instant gratification, and which doesn't work in the market.
Yeah.
Market will give you money when the time is right for that strategy.
Yeah.
So that time drawdown plays a fairly important role in your decision process, which is phenomenal, which is very good.
I mean, this kind of expectation is prevalent in multiple newbies, right? Like someone asked me about algo trading and how it works. So he asked me to connect with them. So I connected with them, and he asked me, how much are you expecting returns in a year. So I said somewhere between 40 to 50% is what I'm expecting. Bro, that is very less. I know Mr. Patel who makes like 1,000%, 2,000%.
Right.
It's nothing.
Yeah.
Right? So yeah. Like there are multiple people who think that, you know, that kind of returns is actually possible. Right. I mean, it's possible for very few people, right? Like they are very exceptional and you know, outliers.
Yep.
But that is not the case for everyone, right? True. So but the idea that I want to bring here is that there are real people thinking that that kind of returns is still possible in trading intraday trading. Yeah.
Interesting. So Arvind, we are going to start with any more questions, Kevin, for you? Otherwise we'll start with the most interesting aspect.
No, I have also asked rapid fire round questions.
Okay, so let me take the few top ones and you take the bottom ones. So Arvind,
yeah,
you don't have to give me long answers.
Okay.
It's just that the first thing that comes in your mind.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask your girlfriend name so you can just kidding. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to do a rapid fire and immediately yeah. I'm going to give it to Kevin and he'll going to ask you a few rapid fire rounds for you.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. But the first thing that comes to your mind, okay?
Yeah.
The biggest misconception that people have about market.
I mean, they can make like super
profit. Shit lot of money. Do you think general people should consider investing or systematic trading?
Systematic trading.
Okay. Do you think this people are born trader or they can be, the trading can be learned?
Trading can be learned.
Okay, interesting. So if I wanted to give you a certain weightage on things,
yeah.
How much would you give, you know, weightage to entry exit, psychology and money management? How would you distribute this two into your arena?
Money management is 50%.
Mm-hmm.
Psychology is 40%.
Okay.
Entry and exit would be 10%.
Wow. That's all. Most of the market wizards said the same thing. That's good. So you are in the path of that. Kevin, over to you.
So do you think trading is a stressful business?
Yes, sir.
Do you think trading is a stressful business?
Stressful.
Yeah, 100%.
But don't you think the all business is stressful? Because at the end of the day, you are running a business. That is a lot more things you have to consider. And
See, it is... This won't be a rapid fire for this particular question. So if you're an expiry trader and at between 250 to 310, you should see the stress level of these expiry traders. Yes. You would never see in any business at any point of time that level of stress.
Yes, that I can relate to.
No, maybe I'm going and like meeting some celebrity for my business. I would have that stress at that point time. But yeah, yes. But yeah, fair point.
So there is a trend following system. There is a mean reversing system. There is also some scalping system, right?
Yeah.
And there is a volatility breakout system. So what do you think? Which is a better?
Of these, trend following would be better.
Okay.
This trend following.
And you have two systems, right? Black Pearl and?
Cash Pearl.
Cash Pearl. Which one is your favorite? Which is your darling?
Black Pearl is my
as you said, trend following is better, but as people say that market only trend for the 30% of the time and rest of the time it's go to sideways. So do you also believe in that?
Yeah, I believe it is even lesser than 30%.
But you still want to trade them, right?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay, so I think we have exhausted all our questions.
So you survived, Arvind. You survived our, plethora of questions. And I think so it was phenomenal knowledge sharing. Because what I really like about, you know, kind of getting people who are like, you know, I would say relatively unknown. Let me be very honest, you know, is basically we speak our heart out.
Right.
Rather than we don't have anything much to hide because we are not in the limelight and people are not judging us in a lot of ways.
Right.
So that's the beauty about, people like us and talking like a friendly conversation, and we really give insights of what we do. So thanks a lot, Arvind. Any last word of advice that you want to give to us also, and including me and everything. So I would be very happy to, you know, kind of.
I mean, you are way too experienced that way to even give an advice. But to the general audience, the only advice that I would give is, which I had already mentioned previously. In this business, you need to stick in the game for a very long time to find your niche, to find your, you know, comfort zone. For that to happen, you need to risk a very small amount every single day. Right? You should not exceed that. One and only if you stay for a very long time, only then you would be successful. Right? I always believe, like, experienced trader always takes money from the new traders.
Yeah,
this is how it goes. So unless until you become an experienced trader, you can't take money from a new trader. So you need to stick with the system.
Excellently put, Arvind. And I have this play card in front of me that markets are nothing but a systematic transfer of money from an undisciplined trader to a disciplined trader.
Yeah, yeah.
And usually the amateur traders who started out, including us when we started out, I did all the mistakes possible and blew up my account also quite few times.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's a good advice for the young guys who, please do not blow up your account.
Yeah.
No, but at least risk as small as possible and make all the mistakes in the early part. So you know what is your niche.
Correct.
Figure it out. So that's brilliantly put, Arvind. Yeah, brilliantly put.
And,
so
thanks a lot, Vishal. You know, you took me through the memory lane of my 10 years, and I was recollecting all the mistakes that I made.
Oh, wow. And it's brilliant. Like, you know, it's good to go back in time understand where we started and started really appreciating like how we have took that journey. And that's what it's all this chat is all about.
Yeah.
Experience of others really helps us to, you know, kind of grow. So thanks a lot, Arvind, for giving us time and being part of it. Thanks, Kevin, for asking a lot of difficult questions to Arvind.
Thanks a lot, Kevin.
Thank you.
Okay, guys. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
See you with the next episode with a very interesting person in the future. Okay? Bye.